Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good day, whatever time of day of the week of the month of the year it might be. I welcome you with open arms to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love have the possibility of becoming BS, which is bait and switch, or whatever term you want to attach to BS. I do not want to BS my way through life. I do not want to bait and switch people. My longing, my heart, my passion, my priority, my pilgrimage, my research is on love. And that's why I'm here every week with you for this episode, these episodes of the No BS Bishop. I so appreciate those of you who are return guests. You've come back. You're going to give me about a half an hour of your life and time, and that really makes me smile, makes me happy. And if you've never been here before, welcome. I am tickled pink. I'm tickled purple. I'm tickled green and gold like a good Packer fan. I love that you chose to come in here and give me a little opportunity to stir the pot, to poke the bear, whatever else you may call it, about one subject, love. I've been at this for 4 years, and I am far from finishing my research on the subject of love. So what I like to do every week when I'm here with you on the No BS Bishop is to start the broadcast with Love's Creed. It's so, I believe, so valuable as a stationary, stabling force to just come here and stand, think about it this way, and then we'll launch into other streams into that river, all right? So here, Love's Creed, something I wrote for a New Year's resolution about a decade ago, and I didn't know it would become something more than that, but I'm tickled that it did. I'm pleased that it did. And now it's a creed that I carry with me at all times. So let me read it for you in total, one time through, and then I'll come back and I'll have you repeat after me. Okay, here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it in total. Now let me give it to you in short bursts like vows at a wedding altar, and you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. It to me is a bit of a piece of poetry, even though it's not rhyming, but it has a meter, it has a rhythm to it that I relate to well. My inner metronome beats to that message, that credo. Now, if you'd like a copy of it, I would be happy to send it to you. I'd be happy to just write it out for you in an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, all one word, Randy Dean Ministries. Send me an email, and I'd be happy to send you a copy. Also, in terms of my email there, Ginger gave it to you at the opening. It's something that I hope that you avail yourself of. Send me your questions. Or maybe you've got a like a Dear Abby kind of question. Dear Pastor Randy, dear Bishop Randy, I have a situation in a love relationship and I don't know what to do. That would tickle me. I'd be happy to, you know, I'm using the word tickle a lot. I guess I'm needing somebody to give me a Gucci goo and see if I'll giggle like a baby. Anyway, chased a rabbit. Sorry. It's an old man habit. Anyway, I'd be happy to entertain questions or challenges that you're faced with your love life. I'm going to continue to press that with you and see if somebody out there says, hey, I have a situation. All right, today I found a quote that really, once again, opens some doors and some cabinets so I can research and look a little more again into the pilgrimage and the discovery of love. And it's by Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton is a monk. He's a well-known author. If you Googled his name, Thomas Merton, very well-known in the 50s and 60s, written several books, just so precious and contemplative and meditating kind of books that are out there. But here's the statement in total. I'm going to go back through it a little bit at a time, all through this time together with you today. Here's his quote. We must revolutionize our thinking, revolutionize our actions, and we must have the courage to revolutionize our relations among the nations of the world. Clichés of yesterday will no longer do. To bring this home to human beings all over the world is the most important and fateful function intellectuals have ever had to shoulder. Will they have enough courage to induce the peoples of the world to change their deep-rooted national traditions in a most radical fashion? Well, here's my response, and his ongoing response is kind of woven into it. I've edited his response to the above proposal. Here it is. Love is the only answer. But medieval talk about love does nothing. What does love really mean today? That's the question. That's why I'm here every week. What does love mean today? What is its place in the enormous dimensions of the modern world? We have to love in a new way, with a new attitude. And Merton says, I suppose perhaps the first thing to do is to admit, ooh, listen to this carefully, is to admit that I do not know the meaning of love in any context, ancient or new. Wow, that deserves a drum roll in front of it and on the backside of it. I have to find a way to admit that I don't know the meaning of love in any context, ancient or new, if we're to have some kind of revolutionary approach in our world. In our world, it's I've forgotten the statistically measurement of how many nuclear warheads are all over planet Earth. How many times can we destroy the world as we know it? How many times, and it's possible it's within a reach of the push of a button amongst nations all around the world now. In that context, and by the way, Merton writes this in 1957, so the memory of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where the United States dropped atomic bombs on Japan to end World War II, that memory is fresh for folks. This is like, for them, this is like our 9/11 in 2001. This is so pertinent to his anguish about, are we going to revolutionize our thinking? Are we going to revolutionize our actions? Are we going to have the courage to revolutionize our relations among the nations of the world? See, Merton is crying out. We're at the edge of the cliff here, and the end of the world as we know it, more than a song, by the way, the end of the world as we know it is right there in front of us if we don't learn to love. Martin Luther King Jr. said, either we're going to learn to live together as brothers or we will die together as fools. At the bottom of the pile of human relationships, there is this. I shouldn't even bring it up, but I'll bring up the quote because I remember it. I don't remember who the person said it, but they said one time that I decline to accept the end of humankind. This was another person in the 50s. Maybe it'll come to me before the end of the broadcast. But I agree with that. I decline to accept the end of humankind. But in order to dodge that metaphorical bullet, we're in deep need to revolutionize our thinking, our actions, and have a courage to revolutionize our relationships among the nations of the world. And what Merton said was, cliches of yesterday will not do. To bring this home to folks all over the planet, whatever their religion, whatever their race, whatever their credos are, whatever else we are living in this big, bad, tumultuous world, if we don't learn love, then destruction is on the horizon. Now, that is not meant to cause fear. It is meant to bring home the solid point here. Love alone is credible. Love alone is credible. Hans Urs von Balthasar, I quote him all the time, that in that regard, that if we're going to have any credibility as a nation, as a international community, if we're going to have any credibility as a church, for instance, that's one of my near and dear subjects. I'm a bishop. A bishop is a pastor of pastors. I oversee pastors, have overseen pastors for all of my, in some form or another, all of my adult life. If the church is going to have any credibility, is if we're going to end our debates of, hi, I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, sit down, hey, let's get together and have coffee and talk. That nonsense is not love. Love alone is credible. Another great theologian said that children are the ones who understand love. The theologians, we theologians, need to surrender our ear to the child. Because Jesus said, if you don't become as a child, you won't enter the kingdom. And that isn't to say you won't enter eternal life after you die. No, you won't enter into the abundant life while you're living. While you're living, will you enter the abundant life? And in that abundant life, at the linchpin, at the doorway, at the windows, in the basement, in the attic, and all the rooms in between, there is love. Love is the only answer. Say that with me. Love is the only answer. I've put it this way. Love's the answer no matter what the question. Love is the only answer. So I'm here every week unpacking this grand adventure and mystery of love, seeking to propose ideas, to unpack notions. What Merton said here about cliches, oh my goodness, this is a personal foible, I guess, but cliches drive me crazy. I often say of some groups and some people in terms of their narrow-mindedness, it gives me a rash. Cliches give me a rash. I get itchy all over. I can't, just cliches, bumper sticker, poster ideas, they just bug me to no end. But the cliches are so paper thin for understanding love that it's time to be serious students, to be PhDs in our research, to have a thesis of what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, with whom will we love, and how will that love look going outward and forward. To that end, I've made a note to myself to tell you here, to that end, March 23rd of 2024, I'm sitting down to record my first podcast on this subject. Now, I know the radio broadcast is here, but the podcast is a bit more expansive. I'm going to have interviews with people. I want to talk to people about the subject of love, and it's going to be called the No BS Bishop Podcast. To that end, I want to talk to people, especially my co-host, the person that's helping me broadcast the podcast. That's a gentleman by the name of Scott, who came into my life in high school. I think it was high school, might have been junior high, but at any rate, he was a teenage boy. He was in my church. And knew his family well, still know his family well, adore his family. They're sweet and good and kind people. But my relationship with Scott, I saw, was tenuous as he got older. He went off to college and became a grown-up. He's as old as my children. And to that end, I've watched him journey away from the church. And that, for a pastor, if you care. If I know there are some hirelings out there that don't care, but I've spent my whole life determined I'm going to be a pastor of pastors. I'm going to be a shepherd that looks like Jesus, and I care. I've often said when people have left my church suddenly or gradually, it's heartbreaking because my calling is to gather, not scatter. So when people leave, it's always crushed my heart, great or small. And so when Scott came back into my life in these days of his adulthood and being a friend of my son, I've grown so attracted to the conversations he and I can have, so drawn into what he sees in his world today and what I see in this world today as a former pastor. Sorry, I had to hit the mute button. Two sneezes snuck up on me. You can go ahead and say it. God bless you. Go ahead. Thank you so much. I could hear it from all over the world. So I was talking about Scott and my intriguing conversation with him, and so we're turning that into a podcast. Scott knows the technical side of this project much better than I do, and so I'm leaning hard on him, and he's leaning hard on me for the content. And going forward, I'm pretty excited about this idea of carrying this radio show into interviews and research a little more in depth and take on some tricky subjects along the way, and that's where we'll go there. Now, March 23rd is the recording. It's not when we make them public, but it's a marker in my mind. I want to make sure you know that it's coming. It's coming. And in the premise of it, in the context, at the root of it, is an ongoing knowledge and a knowing that love has to be so real in us, each one of us, that it cannot be dependent on the object of our love. Let me explain that. I think sometimes we say we love, but then we want that love to be reciprocated just almost as soon as we give it. In fact, we delude our minds. We've been deluded in our thinking that when I love, I'm going to be loved back. And that is not the case. It can be, and there's an ought to and a should in there, but I'm not going to should on you. I'm not going to oughta. I'm telling you, love isn't always reciprocated. And to that end, our giving of love has to stay on this side of our fence. As we in AA say, hula hoop up, baby. Stand in the hula hoop, and everything else outside the hula hoop is none of my business. But what's my business is my business, and loving is my business. So the object of my love may not respond. My love is dependent on my state of being. Now, let me go back to something I say here. I bet I've said it every broadcast for 4 years, and that is this. God is love. Love is God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who loves is born of God, and God dwells in them. God doesn't have an action called love. God doesn't have a priority list where he checks, okay, today is whatever the date is, and I've got a list of to-dos. Oh, right there in the middle of my to-do list, I have to love. That is not the function of deity, of divinity. Divinity is love, love with a capital L. Love is the nature, the character, the rootedness, the always and ever will be of God. When we go from this life to the next, whatever that may look like, we will discover finally beyond the veil what love really looked like. Now, quickly I'll say, there are some who say, well, okay, that in that day we'll know. And I'm with you there, but I'm not with you if we stop in a lazy way and say, okay, we'll never know it on this side. Stop. That's full stop for me. We ought to reach for more at all times. And like I said, unless you accept the end of humankind as we know it, unless you want to believe that the world just blows up and goes away, well, never mind. You've already checked out if you believe that. But I don't believe that. I believe that in the face of a nuclear holocaust. The people of the planet are in a unique position right now to admit we don't know the full meaning of love as we could or should, and it's time for us to discover. It's time for us to reach out for the meaning of love like we've never known before. And no matter if the other person changes or not, we cannot hold the threat, well, if you don't love me, then I'm not going to love you back. That is not on the table. My love is my state of being. I simply love. Why? Because I am love. As God is love, I am love. It's my state of being. So it's not about the other person changing. It's not about the other person having an epiphany that suddenly they recognize, oh, there we go, I'm going to love now. No. Richard Rohr says this, love, which might be called the attraction of all things toward all things, is a universal language and the underlying energy that keeps showing itself despite our best efforts to resist it. It is so simple that it's hard to teach in words, and yet we all know it when we see it. So after all, there is not a native, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Jewish individual, an Islamic individual, or a Christian way of loving. There is no Methodist, Lutheran, Orthodox way of running a soup kitchen, and not a gay or straight way of being faithful, or black or Caucasian way of hoping. We all know positive flow when we see it, and we all know resistance and coldness when we feel it. All the rest are mere labels. Woo! What a mouthful. Richard Rohr. It's from his book, The Universal Christ. That Christ is all in all, and that in Christ, in Jesus, there is love. We're in the middle, as I'm recording this, we're in the middle of Lent, and we'll be reaching the Passion Week. It's so deeply appreciated by me through the years. I've taught myself to appreciate it. I did not find an upbringing to appreciate it. I simply saw it being celebrated and embraced in other traditions, and I decided to embrace it. And on the Holy Week, when Jesus knows I've just got days on this earth. I've only got a few hours left in this planet. I hear people say sometimes, if you knew you only had a week to live, what would you do? if you knew you only had a couple of days to live, what would you do? What's your bucket list? Well, here's Jesus' bucket list. He's washing the feet of the disciples. That's his bucket list. His bucket list included being so enamored with the cause that he'd come to establish that he said to his followers on Monday, Thursday, he said, there is one commandment. There's no longer 632. There's not 10. Now there's one. And they're all subsumed. They're all consumed in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. Woo! That's it. That's the score that he leaves behind. And so I want to leave you behind now with this broadcast coming to a close to hear the words of Jesus during Lent. Love one another as I have loved you. And no one has greater love than this, than that they lay down their life. Now, with all of that breathlessness, let's take a breath. Take a deep breath with me and calm. Maybe I need it because I'm pretty passionate right now. But I want you to join me in breathing deep and knowing love is the answer. On the count of three, take a deep breath. One, two, three. Breathe in. And hold it. And exhale. That's a sabbatical. It will drop your guard. It'll lower your blood pressure. It'll steal you, and calm you. Second exercise I close these broadcasts with is the courage to say the three most holy, magical, and charmed words in the human language, at least in English. Those words are these, I love you. Say it slow. Savor it. Make eye contact. Be intentional with it, because the person you're saying those words to might be desperate to know. Does anybody know I even exist? Maybe they've not heard those words in days, weeks, God forbid, months or years. But if indeed we are the carriers of this love that revolutionizes the world, then it's one person at a time saying those words, I love you. I want you to imagine that I'm saying them to you. You can't see me through the radio, but I hope you can imagine I'm really intentionally looking at you. Whoever you are, whatever your condition is, I want you to hear me. I love you. Everything's going to work out all right because love never fails. Let's all just dive into the deep end of that pool, shall we? Let's all be swimmers in that ocean of love. Now, I challenge you, I urge you to rise up and shine. Shine like a light, baby. Let darkness flee at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Be a person who's determined, I'm going to rise and shine and do something beautiful. Because, oh baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for lovers to rise and shine. Let this world know love is in the room. God bless you and happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.